Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we gathered for worship this morning and turned to gather to the Word of God, we were reminded from the life of Abraham of old of the responsibility which is ours as Christian citizens. As we look to gather at the Scriptures, we were reminded of the importance of the role which you and I fulfill in our society as we make petition, as we pray on behalf of our nation and the nations of the world. Tonight, as we once again look at the Word of God, I want to remind you of a further responsibility which is ours as Christian citizens as we prepare to celebrate the 4th of July. We're looking to gather tonight at the words of verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I want you to think with me for a little while about becoming like Him. Becoming like Him. And we're going to ask three simple questions. Questions which I think everyone here tonight will be able to remember. The first question we ask is, who? The second question which we ask is, what? The third question which we ask is, how? Becoming like Him, who, what, how? The answer to each of these questions is found in our text for tonight. Well, then, first of all, as we think about becoming like Him, we ask the question, who? Have you kept your Bible open? If you have, look with me at verse 18. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, but we all. The Apostle Paul is speaking not only about himself, but as he is guided by the Holy Spirit in the writing of this epistle, he addresses the church at Corinth, and he includes the members of the church at Corinth. We go back for just a moment to chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. And there we read these words in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. And so the apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. The church, which is made up of boys and girls, which is made up of young people, which is made up of adults. A church whose membership, I would imagine, is reflected also here at Seventh Reformed Church. Now, the members of the church at Corinth were not always the nicest people. I think it can be said without argumentation that there was no church that caused the Apostle Paul more heartache and no doubt headache also than the church at Corinth. The Apostle Paul has to direct some harsh words to the church at Corinth. Paul is shocked when he hears about some of the conduct in the church at Corinth. He calls for discipline on members of that church. And yet, as he writes to the church at Corinth, he says to them, but we all. The message which he has is for the members of that church who by God's grace and through the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit have come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives. They have come to experience the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life. All the work of sanctification is not yet completed in their lives. They still must struggle against Satan. They must struggle against sin. They must struggle against their old nature. But the good work has been begun in them. And they can be assured that God, who has begun a good work, shall bring it unto completion. And now the apostle writes to them, and he says to them, we all. Well, what is it that is happening? And that brings us to our second question, what? And then we are filled with amazement, are we not? For we read, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We've got to notice that first of all. These people at Corinth, redeemed sinners, manifesting yet the characteristics of the old man, but being changed more and more into the likeness of Christ, have been permitted to behold the glory of God. Was your soul not thrilled tonight as you heard the beautiful words of how great thou art? You and I have been reminded of the greatness of our God. Did you hear him moving last night in the blowing of the wind? When I looked out the window this morning, I saw the backyard covered with branches and with twigs. As I made my way to church, I saw objects that had been moved by the blowing of the wind. And that wind was a manifestation of the power of our God. But you and I have come to know a greater power than the power of the wind, the power we see manifested round about us in God's creation. For we have come to know the power of his Spirit, who has changed our hearts and who has made us into the children of God. And now the apostle says, we have beheld as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And I'm sure you noticed as we read this passage together that there was a contrast. There was a contrast between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'm sure that all remember the experience of Moses, the man of God, who went up into the mountain and who remained there for 40 days as he communicated with God, as God revealed to Moses his will for the people and for what they were to do. And you remember, don't you, that when Moses came down from the mountain having fellowship with God, that the glory of God was reflected in the face of Moses. And the people cried out for Moses to cover his face. And so a veil was lowered over Moses' face. Well, now you and I are privileged to live in a day when the veil has been removed. For the youngest child in church tonight is privileged above Moses, the man of God, the man after God's own heart, the man known in the scriptures as the meekest of all men. For you see, you and I and our children and our children's children have this word in its entirety. And in that word, God makes himself known to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who tabernacled among men. And so just a little while ago, you and I confessed our faith in Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, who died and was buried, who experienced the agony of hell, but who rose again and who has ascended into heaven. You and I know that as having happened. And the love of God has been made known to us in Jesus Christ. For while we were yet sinners, Christ came and suffered and died to save us from our sins. And now you and I are permitted to behold the glory of God in Jesus Christ as it is made known to us in his word. And now, congregation, hold on to your pews, because you and I are confronted through the word of God with a truth so awe-inspiring that we can hardly comprehend it. The scripture tells us that we who have beheld the glory of God in Jesus Christ are being changed now into the same image from glory to glory. You understand what that means, don't you? That you and I, chosen by God from before the foundation of the world, redeemed with the precious blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, worked on by the Holy Spirit, are now, and I hardly dare to say it, but the Word of God says it, are now being changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And people of God, young and older alike, that is the witness that is so sorely needed in our day. That's the witness that's needed as you and I prepare to celebrate the 4th of July. Go back with me for just a moment to chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. Notice verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, in some of the newer translations, that word follower is translated imitator. The idea of imitation is included in that word follower. And so what is the apostle saying? That you and I, who are being transformed into the likeness, into the image of Jesus Christ, must be able to say to others, be a follower, be an imitator of me, because I'm a follower, I'm an imitator of Christ. I trust those words will weigh as heavily on your heart as they have been weighing in recent years upon my heart. All who are parents here tonight are challenged to say to their children, be an imitator of me, because I'm an imitator of Jesus Christ. All who are grandparents, I trust grandparents and great-grandparents and even great-great-grandparents, if there are such here tonight, realize the influence that you have through your life upon your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. And you must be able to say to them, even as I must be able to say to them, be an imitator of me, for I'm an imitator of Jesus Christ. The elders of the church must be able to say that to the flock over whom they have been placed, as those who will someday give an account for the welfare of the souls of the flock. Be an imitator of me, for I'm an imitator of Jesus Christ. Recently, you had a choir camp here at church. I understand that over 100 children from the community responded. What a privilege. What a responsibility was placed upon those who were leaders, those who were helpers, those who were assistants in that camp, to be able to say to the children who came from round about the church, be an imitator of me. You see, we could continue. I'm sure there are Sunday school teachers here. There are youth leaders. Whatever your role, you must be able to say, be an imitator of me. I want to say I'm thrilled to see young people in church tonight. After the service this morning, one of the members of the congregation and I were talking together, and we talked about how much more difficult it is for young people to live the Christian life than it was for some of us who have now grown old, because we didn't have many of the sources of temptation that are present now. But young people, that's the challenge that faces you, to be able to say to your peers, those with whom you go to school, those with whom you work during the summer months, those with whom you go to camp, those with whom you play ball on Monday night or Wednesday night or Friday night or whatever it is, be an imitator of me, because I'm an imitator of Jesus Christ. As Christians, we are told that we are being changed into the same image from glory to glory. It's not an overnight transformation, congregation. I have passed 70. I know there are some here tonight who have passed the 80 mark. Maybe there are even some here who are 80. Regardless of the age, the Lord is not finished with us. He continues working in us. And so as we go through life, we must set our eyes on that goal which is placed before, forgetting the things that are behind and pressing on to the things that are before, praying that the fruit of God's Spirit may be seen in our lives. And that leads me to the question, how tonight? How are we changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ? How do we become more and more like Him? So that, as the Apostle Paul said, be an imitator of me because I'm an imitator of Christ. Well, the answer is given to us in our text. Look, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Sometimes the accusation is made against us
that we do not realize the importance of the third person of the Trinity. In fact, the third person of the Trinity has even been called the person whom we neglect. Well, tonight we are reminded of the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit. You and I will become more and more Christ-like as we live in fellowship with our Lord. And as that fellowship grows closer, we become more conformed to His image. And we do that through the work of the Spirit. This morning after I got home from church, I sat down and read more thoroughly the bulletin. And I noticed on the bulletin that congratulations are extended to a couple who are celebrating their 53rd wedding anniversary. There's even congratulations extended to a couple who have been blessed with 65 years of married life. When people have been married for a long time, they often become more and more like one another. My wife and I haven't been married 50 years yet, but we are often amused by the fact that when we meet someone separately and then compare notes later on, we find out we have asked that person the very same questions. We have been married long enough so that our thinking has become much the same, and our interests are very similar. And so we ask the same questions. Well, dear people of God, as that happens in the marriage relationship, so it happens in our relationship with our God. As we come into closer fellowship with Him, as we spend more time in prayer with Him, as we spend more time in His Word, as we spend more time walking with Him, we come to know Him, and I say it in all reverence, we come to know Him better, and we will become more like Him. Let me say, I'm grateful to see you in church tonight. Many of you were here this morning also, and you're here tonight on the 2nd of July, when many people have given no thought to worship. You see, it's good for us to come together, to come under the hearing of the Word, to fellowship together. People of God, may I remind you of how important it is that we experience together the communion of the saints. Tomorrow, or maybe Wednesday, many of you will return to your places of employment. And there you will rub shoulders and you will knock elbows with unbelievers. And it may be that at your place of work, you will feel very much alone. But having been in church today, having joined together in singing the songs of Zion, having joined heart in prayer, having sat together under the Word, you and I should have been encouraged and reminded that we, in following Jesus Christ, are not alone, but that there is a whole band of fellow Christians of different ages, of different backgrounds, but who together confess faith in one Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit uses people. The Holy Spirit uses people in our lives to help us as we pursue the goal of becoming more and more Christ-like. You get the point? You and I, the recipients of the blessing of salvation, having come to know the amazing grace of God, now have the responsibility to go forth to live as his people, to be a witness to his presence in our lives, to show what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Tonight, as we joined our hearts in prayer, we prayed that others might be provoked to jealousy. Your life and mine should manifest joy. It should manifest peace. It should manifest security in Jesus Christ. And you and I live in a country which has been so richly blessed, but where millions, literally millions, tens of millions, in fact, are seeking the joy and the peace and the security which can only be found in Jesus Christ. And you and I must manifest that and thereby provoke others to jealousy. I grew up in this city. I was nurtured in a church in this city which has now disbanded. But it was a large church when I was a boy. And I can remember well our pastor telling a story. And he's told it more than once over the years. He said there was a young girl who was standing in a large cathedral. That cathedral had beautiful stained glass windows, even as your church does. Those windows portrayed some of the saints of the Old Testament. And as the sunlight streamed through those windows on that day, as that little girl stood in the church, it seemed as if those figures came to life. Later on, that little girl was asked a question. The question was this: what is a saint? You know what she answered? A saint is a person who lets the light shine through. A saint is a person who lets the light shine through. Congregation of Jesus Christ, people of God, you and I, living in the United States of America, having experienced the power of the gospel, must now go forth to live lights that let the light of Jesus Christ shine forth as we become more and more conformed to his image. We have been blessed. May we, by God's grace and through the power of his Spirit, be used to be blessings unto others. Let us pray. O Lord our God, thou hast blessed us so richly. We pray, Father, that having been the recipients of the gift of salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we may now go forth from this place to be a blessing unto others. May others see the Lord Jesus living in us, and may they thus be moved to ask the reason for the hope and the joy and the security which is ours in Jesus Christ. May we ever be ready to proclaim the message that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. O Lord our God, we pray in this hour that if there is anyone here who has not experienced the power of the gospel, that before darkness covers the earth tonight, such a one may come to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. For we ask it in his name alone. Amen.